It's Ireland's most talked about podcast. The only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, on this episode of the podcast, we want to get your reaction to a message that we received just before we started recording this podcast. And it's a message from one of our listeners who's basically claiming that Ireland has gone to the dogs and is no longer a safe country. That's the message that we got from a listener called James. I'm going to play it for you in a second. But what James is reacting to is a story from Belfast last night. And a man in his 40s sustained significant injuries to his face, neck and back in an attack in Belfast last night. The incident occurred at Kinnard Avenue in the north of the city at around 10:30 last night. A man in his 30s, who police have confirmed to be Sudanese, which means he's from Sudan, has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder. Now, the scene happened outside an apartment complex in the lower Antrim Road area of Belfast. It remained cordoned off with markers visible on the ground where the attack took place. And the leaders of all the main parties in the north issued a joint statement condemning the horrific stabbing. Now, the police did ask people not to share the videos online, but sure, the world that we live in, nobody listened, and the video was widely shared online. And it's an horrific video.
I was sent it without even a warning. I was actually sent it earlier on today. I was having my breakfast, and I just opened WhatsApp. And I wish people, this is a separate issue completely, but I wish people would not send you stuff like that. So I didn't want to see it, to be honest with you. I heard what happened, and I didn't want to see it while having my breakfast. I watched the first 2 seconds of it, and as soon as I saw what was happening, I was like, oh, that's not for me. And people seem to, like, all the people who are horrified by this incident, and you should be horrified.
Absolutely.
By it.
Any right-thinking person will be horrified.
I would say to you as well, if you're horrified by this incident, and again, you should be, and you shared that video, you should be ashamed of yourself. You literally should be ashamed of yourself, because that person, in clear distress, being savaged, absolute savaged, and at that moment, just think if that was you lying on that ground, being savagely attacked, yeah, an animalistic attack, and people are literally sharing that video around on WhatsApp like it's a video of what somebody had for dinner. So, you know, don't come at me with you. I'm concerned about that man if you shared that video, because the person that sent it to me, I sent it back and said, don't be sending me shit like that. I don't want to see it. But the video
has been widely shared by many people.
But that's not the issue. But don't, just stop sharing stuff, okay?
But anyway, in the video from North Belfast last night, you can clearly see a man being viciously attacked by an individual who we believe, the police are saying, is Sudanese.
But and there's another thing that, again, people jump to conclusions. It was said he was Somalian originally, and everybody was, kick all Somalians out. Then it turns out he's Sudanese. Like any story with this, you're getting it in dribs and drabs, and you're getting little bits of information. People were messaging us. At the time of recording this podcast, the man who was injured, horrifically injured, is still alive, and I hope he does pull through. But people were commenting on our Facebook page saying, it's murder, he's dead. The man is not dead. He's in a serious condition. That is directly from the PSNI. So we have the links here for all the PSNI. They would be the first people with the news, and they have said that the man remains in serious condition, as I imagine he would after sustaining that brutalized attack. So he is not dead, thank God. Let's all pray that he pulls through.
Okay, what has been said by a lot of people is that the island of Ireland is no longer a safe place because of immigration. And I want you to have a listen to a message that came in to us just before we started recording this podcast. And I want to get your opinion on it. Do you agree what this individual James is saying, or do you think it's ridiculous to be making blanket statements like this? Have a listen to James' message that came in just before we started recording.
I am just mind blown with the fact that our country is now a very unsafe country. It was always a safe country, and now it's not safe at all. I have a family member who returned home after a night out. The CCTV of the house captured an immigrant outside the front door, pleasuring himself. My cousin is only 21 years old, female, and she's not even safe in her own home. They're outside the front door. This issue is affecting my family directly. And now I'm looking at incidences like this of a man. There was an attempted beheading on this man. This is not the way Ireland should be. We're not a third world country. And this is just ridiculous. How many people have to be raped and murdered before someone does something? It's messed up.
All right. So our question to you is, do you believe what James is saying, that because of immigration, Ireland is no longer a safe country? He's arguing that it used to be a safe country, but now it isn't. Now, it's important to point out, by the way, that this incident happened in Belfast, which might be on the same island as us, but is in a completely different jurisdiction.
But you can walk down. Well, you can't walk, but you can go from Belfast. There's no checks between.
I'm aware of that, but the question is, do you believe that Ireland is no longer a safe place because of immigration? So he clearly believes that immigration is the problem, and that is the reason that this is not a safe country. Or maybe you think actually Ireland is safer than it's ever been. 085-825-2626 is our WhatsApp number.
Opinions matter.
Opinions matter.
With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon.
A daily podcast from Ireland
about opinions.
Ciarán, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Ciarán?
I'm good, Adrian. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ciarán. What did you want to say on this? Basically, that message from James says Ireland is no longer a safe country and it's all because of immigration.
I would agree to a certain point. As I said in my message, you know, we need proper controls. And it's pointless us having proper controls when the UK don't have proper controls. Because if you're in Belfast from the UK, then you're in here. I could drive over the border. There's no issue. Just one comment I'd like to pull James on. How did he know the guy on the CCTV pleasuring himself was an immigrant?
I don't know. Is the honest answer to that? Okay. Maybe if he's still listening, he might let us know that. Yes. Is this assumption?
Yeah, that's half the problem. We have a huge issue. He's right. He's absolutely right. But this jumping to conclusions, probably because he's black, yeah? You know, the country I live in, I'm proud that I have black Irish friends, lots of them, right? And, you know, comments like that are out of order.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Seeing somebody, seeing a black person makes people like that jump to the conclusion that this has to be a foreigner and an immigrant. I agree with you.
He is right on his basic assumption that Ireland is an unsafe. It's still reasonably safe compared to other countries. But, you know, we're all going to go down the route, Adrian, of, you know, oh, it was grand 30 years ago. You know, I'm not going down that route because times change all the time. But I know I wouldn't walk down a common street and late at night anymore.
Really? That's interesting, actually, because I was actually in the city centre the other night, ironically, at the same time, within minutes, actually, of that guy being stabbed to death in the city centre on Bank Holiday Monday.
You didn't feel in danger or anything?
I was in the city centre at that very moment. And I actually had a great night in town. Myself and my wife, we felt extremely safe around town. There was a much bigger Garda presence than I've seen in a long time. It was noticeable. I actually enjoyed the experience.
To answer your question as well, you're saying you wouldn't walk down the city centre or O'Connor Street. I wouldn't have done that any time.
No, even 30 years ago, I wouldn't have.
The city centre, and I mean that by O'Connor Street, is an absolute kip. It's a dangerous, dangerous kip. Long before any foreign national stepped foot inside here, it was always a dangerous place.
But let me ask you then, do you believe that Ireland is, and this is the point that was made in that voice note, that Ireland is now a much more unsafe country because of immigration?
I wouldn't blame it squarely on immigration, but that's one of the consequences of the lack of government action in this country.
Meaning what?
In this country, the government have no forward vision. They can't see problems coming long before they come. And they're not on their own. There's governments all over the world like that. But I mean, this problem can be sorted out. And it's not entirely an immigration problem. If we close, I'm not saying close the borders, if we had proper control on immigration tomorrow, would there still be crime? Absolutely, there would, 100%. But, you know, more and more and more, you know, murder in the UK is down all-time lows. But, you know, as soon as a video like this is approached, we go to the issue. Now, I'm not going to make an issue of it. Well, do you know what I mean? The issue is, really, that we don't have any controls, right? Or we have very limited controls. We have no knowledge of, you know, I can't go to Australia, I can't go to America without, you know, 101 questions. Why is it not like that here? And then it leads to a perception. Like I've just said, I wouldn't walk down O'Connell Street. That's not because I think it's any more dangerous. It's because I wouldn't take the risk anymore.
Yeah, no, and so, somebody just messaged to say, Adrian, I bet you wouldn't walk down Talbot Street late at night. And Marie, you're actually right. Well, I wouldn't walk down Talbot Street late at night. But that's not necessarily just to do with immigrants. No. That is to do with just the type of people that hang around Talbot Street late at night. I wouldn't want to be walking past them, to be quite honest with you.
I think the issue here is, maybe I was naive in thinking this, that there might be some sort of psychological test or report done on people who come into the country, especially seeking asylum and stuff like that. I was in the city centre 2 weeks ago on O'Connell Street during the day. I wouldn't go there during the evening time. I had to pick something up in Easton's, actually. And I was walking in O'Connell Street and there was a man there, an African man. You could tell he couldn't speak English and you could tell he was from Africa. I don't know what country in Africa. But he was standing on the road in the middle part of O'Connell Street, literally demented, like talking gibberish, demented out of his head. You could see dishevelled look, no shoes on his feet, absolutely looked dangerous. And I was thinking to myself, that man obviously came here as an asylum seeker. I assume he came here. What tests or what checks were done on him to make sure he's of sound body and mind?
None. Because absolutely none.
But I know of no country on earth that does psychological evaluation on you before you're granted asylum. You either are granted asylum or you're not.
But how is this man? Well, I'm trying to say, this particular man, and this is only one man, but there's for every man that I've seen, then there's probably more. Why?
Here, we've always had demented people on the street.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
especially when you look at O'Connell Street.
I know, but why
some of the nut jobs you've seen on O'Connell Street over the years.
Why was this not flagged? This particular individual, surely.
And did you notify the guards about him? Did you notify the guards about his bad behaviour?
But no, he wasn't doing anything illegal. He was just in the middle part of O'Connell Street with no shoes on, talking to himself, shouting aggressively. He was completely
Well, why didn't
bonkers.
You notify the guards?
Ring the guards and say there's a man...
There's loads of guards around O'Connell Street now.
I've never seen a guard on O'Connell Street.
Well, then you haven't been in town. They are. They're very visible in their presence now.
What I'm saying is, why was that not flagged with somebody alone? No, it's not my job to flag. I'm not the border control. Why was that not flagged? When he came into this country...
I doubt he arrived at immigration and was acting like a lunatic.
People can tell if someone is of not of sound body of mind and is dangerous. And when I saw this fella, Adrian, I'm not exaggerating here, I thought to myself, that individual is dangerous.
You should have reported him, for God's sake.
If you
felt he was dangerous, yeah. So how would you have felt a couple of hours later if he'd attacked somebody?
Yeah.
You'd think to yourself, fuck, I should have rang the guards.
It's I'm just saying there should be some sort of, I don't know how people get to that point where, you know, they're inner city and they're obviously dangerous.
Again, Ciarán, do you believe that Ireland is much more unsafe, and is it because of immigration?
It's not, certainly not safer than it was 30 years ago, is it? Forget any issue. Is it safer? Answer that question, yes or no.
A lot of people feel no. I did feel no myself.
I
did feel no myself until last weekend, and for the first time in years, I actually felt relatively safe in Dublin.
Well, that's good.
Late at night.
Good to hear, Aidan. It's good to hear, but I just wouldn't take the risk anymore. I just wouldn't take the risk anymore, and that's sad.
Okay, stay there for 1 second. Our number is 0858252626. Angela, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Angela?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Angela. We're talking about the reaction to that horrific attack in Belfast, which I know the police in the north have asked people not to share, but it has been shared very widely. Most of us have probably seen it today. It's horrific to look at. And what a lot of people have been saying is this just proves how unsafe this island of ours is because of immigrants. What do you say to people with that view?
Up until last night, I was kind of 50-50, okay? Because you do get rapes in Ireland by Irish men and women. You do get murders by Irish men and women. You do get all of this crime in Ireland. That last night has terrified me. I saw a blurred copy of it, thank God, because it was only because it said it's been blurred out that I kind of watched it. But Jesus Christ, lads. It's fucking scary. Excuse my language. It's scary.
It is. And again, again, just because it's important, because I don't want people thinking that we're not keeping up to things. As this podcast is recorded, at the time of this podcast being recorded, so if you're listening to this at night time or in a couple of days' time, at the time of recording, the alleged victim is still alive, okay? There has been no reports.
Yeah, because that's why he's been charged with attempted murder and not murder.
Yeah, but people don't get that. You know? People were saying to us, why are we saying that? They just don't get the law, okay?
Also, I want you to explain, because I put it up, the reason that you're allowed to speak about this is because it's up the north.
Well, it's not only that, he hasn't been, at the time of...
He hasn't been charged.
At the time of recording this podcast, he hasn't been charged, so we can still discuss it. We are tied a little bit when he actually is charged, although the restriction wouldn't be as severe...
Not as much,
because it's in the north.
It's in the north, so... But I just, like... My memory is 2003, Owen Tracy in Limerick. The Dundee McCarthy's tried to slit his throat because a gun didn't go off. That was the early hours of the morning, out the back road or somewhere. Then you have the Scissor Sisters, who had their own reasons and mental health issues and everything, with who they decapitated. This was broad daylight.
Well, no, it actually wasn't. It was dark. It was dark when the video
was filmed. Dark?
Yeah, it was dark, yeah.
Okay, well, my apologies on that. My apologies. So
it was apparently about 10 o'clock last night.
Okay, so it was still a little bit bright, because it actually is still a bit bright. But the way I look at it is, this was, as far as I know, an unprovoked attack where he tried to cut a man's head off in the middle of the street.
Okay, we don't know the details of whether it was an unprovoked attack. We don't know the run-up
to... Well, I don't care, because no matter what, nobody deserves to go down the ground and have your head cut off.
I agree. The whole thing is absolutely horrific. And I've seen the unblurred version of the video, because... As with Jeremy, it was sent to me today. It is absolutely horrific. But the question that we're asking is... Because the message we played at the start of this episode was from one of our listeners who said, Ireland is a much more unsafe island because of immigration. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I used to live in Dublin. I lived in Dunleary. I loved going into town at night. You know, around Christmas, around special occasions, you go in, you see lights, you see this. It's nice time to walk around the town at night, just browsing, just that. No, it's been a good few years before. Like, I've gone up there for Christmas. I will not go in there at night time. Not a hope in hell. No way.
I've never really liked the city centre, especially around O'Connell Street and Talbot Street, not just foreigners causing antisocial shite in Dublin city centre.
You always got the dregs hanging around the city centre during the day and during the night.
My question is, based on that message, after that incident in Belfast, is it fair to say that this island is a much more unsafe place because of immigration? Or is it just a much more unsafe place?
I think it's actually both. Because I've been, things come up on your news feed and on Facebook and Reels and all that. And I'm actually terrified that Dublin and the big cities, Limerick, Cork, are going to turn into Philadelphia. Because that's scary. That's scary with the drugs that's going over there. You know, with the heroin, with everything. And it's just like a zombie town. And that's what I'm afraid. That's what I can actually vision in Dublin happening. You know, that people can't even walk. they are bent over. Okay,
another one of the problems that I see it daily, is part of the problem of the behaviour of people in places like Dublin is, for example, our cocaine epidemic, that people are coked out of their fucking bicky and are as hyped up as bejesus and causing absolute mayhem. That's a huge, huge problem, which isn't, it never gets discussed, but I see it. I can see it myself. You can tell when somebody is coked out of their brains.
You know, when they're either coked or completely zonked out on heroin.
Yeah, but my point is, that's not necessarily foreigners carrying on like that. Some of them might be foreigners, but it's not all foreigners.
Seems to be a lot more now. When you look down the Keys, when you look on O'Connell Street, it's a lot more immigrants that are coming over here. They've nowhere to stay. They're homeless and they're on drugs on the streets. And it's a lot more immigrants as far as I can see.
We're just getting that news, and again, as this podcast is recorded, we're getting this news here. The Sudanese suspect, and again, people were annoyed saying, why are you calling him a suspect? We saw the video. In the eyes of the law, lads, we have.
You don't need to explain.
It's allegedly.
You do have to explain. People are thick. Why is he called a suspect? Yeah. Why is he called a, it's a suspect because he hasn't been charged or found guilty with anything at the moment. So that's why you have to use the word suspect. The Sudanese suspect was in the UK under a 5-year visa. I'd love to know what kind of visa that was. Was it again? That's all we know at the moment. That's from that's coming in from the DUP leader in the north. And a 5-year visa, would it have been a work visa? Would it have been a college
could
visa?
Could have been, yeah. It could have been either. Yeah. So it was a UK visa.
It's just scary. I am genuinely terrified, you know, at this country. And okay, thank God there are people out there who have joined the Guard and who are going into this job with their eyes wide open as to what is ahead of them with what's going on in this country. And I'm going to say it, guys, you know, give them all the help they can, because if ye want something done about this, help the guards. Stop decking throwing stuff at the, stop calling them pigs, stop calling them bacon, stop giving out about the guards. Do you honestly think if you give out about a guard, he'll give a shit about you? No, he won't. Let's start supporting them. Let's actually come together and start supporting the guards and help them do their jobs.
All right, stay there for a second, Angela. Our number 0858252626. You can send us a WhatsApp or a WhatsApp voice note. This is Aoife.
Hi, Adrian. I'm just sending a voice in to voice my opinion. My name's Aoife. I completely agree with people feeling that Ireland is not safe. As a woman, I don't feel safe. I used to enjoy going for walks by myself around my local area, you know, going to places, even to the extent of going places with my children now. I've got 2 young kids. I don't feel safe doing things on my own. I'm always ringing for a family member, asking do they want to do something. Like, even simple things like going to a park with my kids, a bigger park. I'm going, oh no, I don't want to do that on my own. I'll have to ask if my sister wants to come with me or my brother or my mom, because I just don't feel safe doing it alone anymore. Ireland is not safe. It doesn't feel safe. And if anyone thinks it's safe, they're very, very delusional.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a podcast from Ireland with a difference.
John, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, John?
How are you doing, lads?
John, you were a bit annoyed with what Jeremy was saying. What did he say that annoyed you?
You know, people. It was discussed about people sharing the video, and it's not necessary to be sharing such the video the way it was shared.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of disagree, because there has been in the reporting on certain incidents. I believe the reason is to stop certain discrimination or racial profiling, etc. That there's difference in reporting in certain incidents, and people have seen that over the years. And if people don't share this, people are afraid that this information will not get out or will be played down in the public sphere. And
in fairness, Jeremy's argument was, I was having my bloody breakfast this morning. The last thing
that
actually wasn't my argument. I did say that if someone is sending a video like that to you, they should send a bit of warning saying, by the way, because there's often been times I'd have my kids beside me and I'd be going through my phone, you wouldn't know what you're up with. Now, my point was, this man who was attacked, who was viciously assaulted. If that was me, I wouldn't want at that moment in time in my life when I'm literally almost being killed. I wouldn't want that video being shared around like it's a meme. I know it wasn't shared like a meme, but people shared it on WhatsApp like it doesn't mean anything. And I know what you're saying, people need to know how bad it was. I knew how bad it was without seeing the video. When I read the report of what exactly happened, I mean, the news is very good at reporting it. I didn't need to see the video, and that was just my
point. But I'm just... Yeah, I'll just stop you there, Jeremy. The news is very good at reporting it. The news didn't report it until about 2 hours after the incident took place. And that's what I mean. People are sharing this stuff online
John, that'd be fairly normal that it would take time for the police to release information about an incident like that. There's nothing abnormal about that.
What happens in a situation like this is the police are all obviously involved in they're putting the tape up and they're trying to apprehend the man and all that. And then it takes the police to then contact the head of press.
This is the way it works, to file a report.
So that can take, you know, and I know what you're saying. On social media, things are up before anything. And that video was being circulated, I'd say, minutes after. I just think...
But the point I'm making, John, is there's nothing sinister in it taking a couple of hours for...
No, absolutely not. But the point I was trying to make...
And this happened at 10 o'clock last night. So most of us were in bed when they started releasing the information about it.
Yeah, so the media is not sinister in this regard. No, I get that. But can we both admit that at certain incidents that have been reported, that have been played down over the years? Now it's gotten better over the years, but before and coming up to this incident, even the lad in Arnott, with Arnott's there, there's different sorts of outrage, different sorts of media reporting on certain incidents, and that has led to people, spreading the information willy nilly fire. Through social media, you know, and that is a big issue that should be addressed, and that was my point.
Okay, so you believe that it's important to share videos like this so that we can see what's going on.
Dangerous. There is dangerous people walking the streets because we've
always known there's always been dangerous people walking the streets.
But John, I have never seen
an incident like that, Adrian. No. I watched that this morning and I nearly fucking...
I haven't myself. It was one of the most horrific things I've ever seen. Yeah, it's like something out of a horror movie.
I'm on the side.
Yeah, that frightened the shite out of me. I'm not usually frightened by this sort of stuff. I was actually scared. I have young kids, you know.
But let's be honest, we're all on the side of the victim here, the man who was on the ground and was savagely attacked. We're all on his side, and I just think where's his dignity that literally that horrific beating is now...
In a normal world, Jeremy, I would agree, but we're actually in an advanced stage of, you know, there's certain policies, immigration policies haven't worked, you know. There is an increase and an uptick. Social media is there.
Just for the record, by the way, this particular individual, this Sudanese man, was legally resident in the UK. He had a 5-year visa. Yeah. This was just announced while we're recording this podcast. So he wasn't an illegal immigrant. He was an immigrant with a visa.
But that's fine. That highlights then the system has failed because they've allowed people in who are prone to this. There must have been signs. Maybe it was a lack of integration. How would you know that somebody like an absolute fucking animal is going to stab somebody?
I don't know the circumstances. For all I know, that man could have been...
Nobody does. So we're all just...
But hang on for 1 second. This guy was legally in the UK, okay? Gave him an entitlement to live in Belfast. It actually also would have given him an entitlement to live here, but he wasn't. He was up the north.
Excuse my ignorance. Could he have lived here as well?
Of course he could. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's scary, isn't it?
My point is, I don't know the background to this man. For all I know, he could have done 6 lines of cocaine. It was out of his absolute bin when he attacked that night.
I'm not making it as
an excuse. I'm saying it mightn't be psychological...
There might not have been red flags.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's it. But I would like to say also, I take everything you're saying, Adrian, but I would just like to make the solid point as well that on this island there has been an attempt at 3 beheadings. It was gay lads over in the West. There was Ashley Murphy that was stabbed 11 times in the neck, and now we have a man in the middle of a residential area on a peace line, ironically, is getting mauled.
It was horrific. I did watch the video.
We can accept your argument, but we can also say on the other side of this argument, patterns can be seen, and this needs to be addressed in government policy.
Okay, let me ask you then, do you believe, because this is what our very first message that started this conversation was saying, Ireland is a much more unsafe place now, and it is all because of immigration?
Okay, so I'll say to this, nobody knows because there is no statistics on ethnicity, who makes it or who creates what crime, or is in general, and is it safe in Dublin? That's a feeling. So if somebody does not feel safe walking the streets in Dublin when they did 10 years ago, that's valid because that person feels that. Yeah, is it on a whole? I don't know the evidence. There's no facts to say because of this level of immigration or this level of this. It's become unsafe, you know, and the governments are in the game of playing down numbers on crime and unsafeness because that's what will get them elected. So yeah, I'm just as a normal Joe soap, I can't say is it less safe or not, but I would feel
the question is more to do with the fact, for example, the last bad incident I saw in Dublin city centre was about 3 or 4 years ago as I was driving up along the quays.
I think the last one you witnessed personally.
Thing I witnessed that was a red flag issue in Dublin was driving up along the quays, and directly in front of my car at a set of traffic lights, two Irish lads literally beating the living shit out of each other with bicycle chains.
Honestly, look, lads,
with bicycle chains.
We put a video up on our Facebook page 2 weeks ago, and it was all over the news about the traveller feud at that in the cemetery.
The point that I'm making is the last bad experience I had in Dublin was seeing these two lads,
They were nothing like this.
No, it was actually like that. They were literally swinging bicycle chains at each other's heads.
Okay, yeah.
And blood gushing everywhere.
But that's insanity. And that boils down to the point as well, Adrian, yeah? If we can't handle our own fucking scrope bags, yeah? And we can't look a fingerless, and I grew up in Jokestown, so I know a bit of what goes on, yeah? How are we just importing people without, you know, the services being able to, you know, keep up with the demand? I mean, this has to be looked at as a whole. We can't even look after our own. There was a riot in O'Connell Street way back when those three poor school kids were stabbed. And it was a big riot, and the police couldn't even contain that. Now imagine, you know, we're bringing in people and the police already are struggling. Now we're bringing in on top of that more. There's no integration policy, it doesn't seem like. There's no, you know, housing strategy. There's no, you know, assimilation strategy.
So really what you're saying is it's not necessarily that you believe Ireland is unsafer because of immigration, but that we're not able to deal with the problems that we have without immigration being added on top of it. That's really what you're saying.
Nobody can say that that immigration or your own controlled immigration, let's say it that way, because immigration's fine if people are working. Uncontrolled immigration, which means just letting in, you know, thousands and thousands of people, no cap, but again, no looking at services.
And again, I'll go back to the point about this particular individual in Belfast was in Belfast legally. Was in Belfast on a 5-year UK visa, whether that was a student visa.
Well, then that highlights that the system has failed.
Okay, stay with me for a moment. Our number is 0858252626. Jer has been on to us.
I wish this would stop and on about Ireland has its own problems. Ireland has its own scumbags and cocaine epidemic and heroin epidemic and all of that. Yeah, that's exactly right. We do. But we don't need the third world problems coming in as well, adding to it. Like, they don't think the same way as us. So, yeah, we have our own issues. We can deal with them. What we saw in Belfast this night, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Like, if that's what's coming in and more like-minded people like that, this country's fucked.
Chloe, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Chloe?
I'm good. I have to say, to answer your question immediately, Ireland is very much unsafe due to the fact we've had immigration and it's a certain population of who's immigrating.
Meaning what?
Meaning that there's 52 other countries in the world that have the Islamic faith as their major faith, including this man's own country, which he supposedly has a visa for the UK for. Was that gained illegally, that visa? Because we all know they throw passports away. This is nothing to do with immigration.
We only found out as we're recording this podcast and that this particular individual, sorry. Hang on, this is the leader of the DUP in the North found out this information, and he said that this man was on a 5-year UK visa legally in the UK, which entitles him to be in Northern Ireland and here, ironically.
So I wanted to ask you something, Adrian. You remember in the early 2000s, I believe it was, there was a student in Palmerstown Community School, which I am a former pupil of, called Cunleigh, who came here on false documents stating he was much younger than he was.
The point is?
The point is, these people are coming here with fraudulent documents. Why is this not being corrected? Why are we letting people in without passports?
Chloe, we're going to have to agree on that.
They shouldn't be.
I agree with you really? 1,000,000%. And if somebody rocks up to immigration saying, I'm seeking asylum, but I don't have a passport, piss off, get back on the plane that you came in on. And they should be thrown out immediately. They shouldn't even be listened to.
We've said this from the get-go, by the way, despite people thinking the opposite.
This is what I'm trying to point out to your listeners. But my point is, and it's what nobody wants to say, is the problem is not immigration. The problem is jihadi Islamists coming to our country. That is what the problem is. Nobody has a problem with the Poles anymore. Nobody has a problem with the Indians. It's these Muslims, like Dr. Umar is probably going to get on and say, I'm a racist. It's not racist to notice things. That is not racism. It's Muslims coming here that right. They're fleeing their own countries. There's 52 Muslim countries in the world. They may go there. We don't want them. We don't practice what they believe.
Okay, but without guessing or without even trying to come up with why this happened last night, because there are no answers.
Jeremy. It's in their book. It's in the Quran. Chloe.
We don't even know.
Hang on, there's some people, a minute.
Over 90% of the population of where he is from are Sunni Muslims.
Yes, I'm aware of
that.
And Sudan is one of the most dangerous countries in the world. We know that as well, that it's a really, really dangerous country. There's a lot of violence. But it's too early to start guessing why this happened or if we'll ever get the answer.
It is
too early to speculate as to what happened in Belfast, okay?
Because you said you heard the unblood version. Are you telling me you did not hear that man talking about Allah?
No, I didn't. No,
well,
I didn't.
You need to go and rewatch the video because he does.
Okay, I didn't hear that, so maybe that's my bad. But again, to be tarnishing an entire religious grouping because of the bad behaviour of a few is ridiculous as well, Chloe.
That is what is in the Quran. We were warned about
Chloe,
this by the principles
okay, Chloe,
of the major
Chloe, hang on for one second.
Why does everything go back to religion?
I was treated a couple of years ago by an oncologist for prostate cancer. That oncologist is from Pakistan. And that oncologist, who practically saved my fucking life, is a Muslim. He's not chopping people's heads off.
Did I say all Muslims? I said jihadi.
Well, how do you define
it? Jihadi Muslim.
How do you define a jihadi Muslim, for God's sake?
Sorry, can I just say...
The same way one of the sheikhs in the Emirates did and told us we were importing the worst of the worst into our country.
Okay, let me just... Because you did mention him and obviously he's not here to give his right to reply. Sheikh Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, you said, has he condemned what happened in Belfast? Well, I don't know your exact words. I'll give you the statement that he actually posted on his own page an hour ago, and he says, so this is Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, I'm deeply horrified and disturbed by the shocking knife attack that took place in Belfast. Reports indicate an appalling act of violence that has left many people deeply concerned and saddened. My thoughts and prayers are with the victim, their family and those affected by this horrific incident. No one should ever have to endure such a brutal and traumatic effect. And he goes on, I commend the emergency services. May we stand together in rejecting violence and upholding the values of compassion, peace and justice. So just you were saying, I wonder, will he make a statement? He made it an hour ago, Chloe.
I said he's going to be on calling me a racist. I didn't say, did he make a statement? Never said that. I said a different sheikh in the Emirates told the UK and Ireland and Europe we were importing the worst of their kind. Well, they are jihadis. The Irish Muslim Brotherhood, again, I had this conversation with you before. What happened in London was planned for O'Connell Street Bridge. We are not...
Okay, Chloe, how you can define within Islam which Muslims are jihadi Muslims and which aren't is just impossible. Proper checks, Adrian.
That's how these countries know who is on these watch lists. Yes, they don't share that information with us and we don't bother to ask.
I hope we get the answer as to why he was in the UK, what type of visa, and people will demand answers and we've a right to know. It'll be interesting to see what type of visa he got. And again, like the story I told at the start of this podcast, the fellow I saw in Dublin City Centre a couple of weeks ago, absolutely deranged. It beggars belief how he got past any of these checks. But one would assume, in order for this man, the suspect in the Belfast stabbing incident, in order for him to get a visa, he would have to do some sort of interview. He would have had to talk to somebody. You don't just get a visa in the back of a cornflake box, do you?
No. Generally speaking, no.
So how did someone talk to him at some stage and say,
we don't know the circumstances. We don't know whether it was a student visa, which are much easier to get. If you pay to do an expensive course in the UK, you can get a student visa, and here in Ireland, by the way, handy enough. I don't know what sort of a visa is, so there's no point in even speculating. But again, Chloe, I understand the point that you're making about your beliefs on Islam and all of that, but how you can subcategorize jihadi Muslims from that oncologist who treated me 2 years ago, I just don't know.
Adrian, I am not saying every Muslim is bad. That is not their faith. They share a lot of their faith with us Christians and with Jews. We all have the one God, Abrahamic religions. What I'm saying is, in Muslim countries, they have sourced to as members of the Islamic Brotherhood, the Sufi Brotherhoods. All these people are known to their local authorities, yet we don't have any communication with them through fear of being asking these questions.
Okay, let me ask you a final question then. The message that we started off this conversation with at the start was claiming that Ireland is a much more unsafe country now because of immigration, nothing else, because of immigration.
I would state yes, and I have one final point to make towards you, given out about that video being recorded. Had it not been for Henry Nowak being recorded on the ground in handcuffs after being stabbed, we would never have known the truth.
First of all, it was Adrian didn't open his mouth about it, it was me, and I'll qualify what I said. My point was, yes, I'm delighted it was recorded, Chloe, because that is hard evidence. And video evidence, as you know, is gold in a court case. So no doubt, if that individual is charged and it goes to court, that video will be used and played as evidence. And that evidence is absolute gold. That's much better than hearsay. It's much better than I saw this and he saw that. I'm glad it was recorded. My point was about the sharing of it like it's a video of someone going swimming or something like that. It was a video of someone being viciously attacked. And I just don't agree with sharing stuff that's so graphic. And I'm thinking, if that was you, Chloe, if that was my wife, if that was your husband, you wouldn't want people sharing a video of you lying on the ground being literally beaten to
Jeremy,
bits, would you?
The thing is, though, I saw yesterday an Irishman all over the papers being arrested. That man subsequently died. He was named, shamed, and he was the same. He was accused of a crime. But yeah, he was plastered everywhere. What I'm saying is about these videos, the police had the murder of Henry Nowak on crime, and it was only when the public demanded that there be justice, it was done. It was all kept very hush-hush in the UK, because again, we are being infiltrated.
But again, I'm saying it was important that the video, I'm talking about people sharing it. And I'm sorry, there was people I know, literally, she couldn't wait to share it. Couldn't wait to share it. Like, almost getting off on the phone. Oh, wait to see this video. Wait to see this video. This is someone being attacked. It's not for our entertainment. And I think
this is not somebody being attacked. This is somebody who was trying to behead somebody on the street on the island of Ireland. That is not an attack.
Yeah, but it's not a horror movie that has been designed for your entertainment. Yes. It is an actual real life incident, which could, God forbid, at the time of recording this podcast, that man is still fighting for his life. But that video could show his final minutes.
As I said, Henry Nowak was handcuffed while on the ground because that man called him a racist. He bled to death in handcuffs.
All right, let me bring in more opinions on this. Martin has been on to us.
Afternoon, lads. I agree with that fellow that was on there before. Immigration is not the only reason Ireland is less safe, but it is definitely part of the problem, especially the uncontrolled part of it. You know, and Adrian there getting a bit fucking pissy when he doesn't like the answers that people give. I think if Adrian took off the old left-wing blinkers for once in his life, he might actually see the truth.
Opinions matter. Opinions matter.
with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon.
A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Now, the messages are absolutely flying in. Our number is 085-825-2626.
There's no point giving it to them. We won't get to play them all. Before the break there, Martin was saying you were getting pissy. What did you get pissy about when you don't like the answers?
I don't know what he was even talking about, to be quite honest with you.
By the way, people are still, even after this conversation, people will take all the wrong things from what we've said. So what have we said so far? Yeah,
nothing.
We obviously have said something. You haven't shut up since
I said the last worst incident I saw in Dublin was two Irish fellas swinging bicycle chains at each other and knocking the head off each other.
That attack last night was horrific. I've never, even though I didn't watch the video, I've never heard of something so vicious and scary in all my life, that I don't think people should share the video as a form of entertainment. It was a very, very serious attack. That we're against open borders. We've always been against open borders. I've actually asked the question about six times in the last hour. How did he get into the country? We need answers on that. Was he given some sort of check? Did anybody have a conversation to see with him? Because I think when you talk to somebody for 2 minutes, when you interview, especially if you're an expert, yeah?
Sorry, can I just cut across you for one second? You're asking, was he not interviewed? Was he not questioned? Joe O'Reilly murdered his wife in their home in Knoll and went straight back to work an hour later.
Went on to the Late Show.
And then went on to the Late Show. Do you think anybody analysed him and interviewed him and see was he fit to live with his wife in the Knoll? You're being ridiculous. People's psychological makeup doesn't get explored until something tragic happens. Okay, and now we know Joe O'Reilly, in hindsight, was a fucking nut job that murdered his wife in cold blood. Yeah. But we didn't know that at the time. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Let me bring in Jude. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Jude?
I'm not too bad. And yourself?
Good, thanks, Jude. What did you want to say on this?
Well, basically, I'll go on a couple of things people have said there, maybe clarify them or clear them up. That fella's there saying about you getting pissy. I think why that is that when someone says something about immigrants doing it, you're immediately saying, as you just said there, that an Irish person done this, an Irish person done that. So that gives the impression, it doesn't mean that's what you think, but it gives the impression to the people listening out there that you disagree with them. And that's
Specifically, hang on for 1 second. We were specifically talking about people feeling unsafe in Dublin. I said two things on this show. One is I was in Dublin on the bank holiday weekend, a late night out with my wife for the first time in years, and I felt very safe. Felt very safe. Uh-huh. And ironically, the same night, a man was killed on the streets. Okay. However, what I said was the last bad incident that I witnessed in Dublin city centre, me personally, nobody else, was two fellas on the keys whacking the head off each other with bicycle chains, nearly killing each other, blood spurting everywhere. It was horrific to see. That's all I said. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying you were right, wrong, or indifferent. What I'm saying is that's what it's given the impression, because what you're saying is all the bad incidents you've seen or heard of or know about were Irish people. People, doesn't matter what you mean, doesn't matter what you actually say, it's the perception people have, and the perception they have is that you are doing that. And that's why he said he's being pissy. I'm not saying he's right or wrong.
Am I not allowed to speak my truth? I've also been in town where I've walked from one side of the city to the other and never seen a Garda. That's not good enough. And didn't feel safe that time. That was after a match in Croke Park a couple of years ago. I walked through the city, never once saw a guard with 60,000 people around Dublin, which is absolutely disgraceful. But all I said was, the last bad experience I had was those two lads knocking lumps out of each other with bicycle chains. That's all.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. And I mean, I agree with you. You are entitled to your opinion. What I'm saying is that you are asking, why are people saying you're getting pissy? Because people do not listen to what you say. When you say something, people are looking to get an argument back.
Okay, that's fine. Right. And you're actually dead right. Now,
that's what they're doing with you.
Let me ask you the question then about whether or not you believe, as per our very first message, is Ireland a much more unsafe country today, and is it because of immigration, in your opinion?
Yes and no. Yes, it is because of immigration. It is because an awful lot of the ones who are coming in are unvetted. The ones coming in the boats, as you know, dump their passports, so they have no idea who they are. People, immigration is very simple to get into a country nowadays, right? It's very cheap. Now, you can get a flight from anywhere in the world for probably 60, 70, 80, 100, well, euros down there. I actually live in Belfast now. But you can get that money for, you know, a couple hundred pounds, right? Yet they're paying thousands to come on boats, make a dangerous journey across, and a lot of them have died. Why are they doing that if they have a clean record? It'd be much easier and safer for them to come in legally. So a lot of them, can't say all of them because I don't know, but a lot of them are doing it because they do have criminal records. They're not coming in with their families. Now, there's a war zone, and they're leaving war zones. What man would leave a war zone and leave his wife and children behind? Why are these men coming by themselves? Because there's very few women coming in the boats. So that gives the impression, now, yes, things okay, would have increased anyway.
I fully take the point that you're making, but I am old enough to remember a time where Irish men left this country to go to other countries like London or wherever and send money back to their wife and children back here in Ireland.
We didn't stop people.
Jeremy, the Irish didn't have a great reputation abroad. We really didn't. We were actually despised in many places abroad.
You're despised in many places abroad. And also when you went abroad, you didn't get benefits. You didn't get housing. You didn't get anything. They had signs in America saying no Irish, no blacks, no dogs. No,
that was actually in London. So those signs were in London.
They had it in New York as well. They had them all over the States as well in different areas. So I didn't actually know they actually had them in London, but they had them all over the place. They got nothing for nothing. They weren't fleeing. Most of them now fleeing. These immigrants are not fleeing anything. They are economic migrants because they get benefits. I mean, you look at countries that don't give them benefits. They don't go to.
Okay, so again, in answer to my question, is Ireland a much more unsafe country now because of immigration?
I would have to say, yes, it is. Now, like I said, I have to say, before anyone takes me up and say it's not only because of immigration, but yes, because there's so many thousands of unvetted people coming in. I mean, if you go to the Office of National Statistics in Ireland, in 2005, there were something like 500 or 600 reported rapes and sexual assaults in Ireland. In 2025, there's 3,000. Now, they're the National Statistics Office give them figures. And as that girl was saying earlier...
Okay, one of the reasons behind those statistics is people are much better at actually reporting such crimes now, where they used to be afraid to in the past. They're now much more inclined to report one of these crimes.
And you think that accounts for the 67-fold increase?
All you have to do is ask Women's Aid and they will tell you that people are much more brave now in reporting crimes like this. I'm not saying it accounts for all of the increase, but it certainly accounts for a huge percentage of it. All right, look, I'm going to have to wrap this up. I've had a load of voice notes to bring to you. Aoife was on earlier on and she's on again now.
And just want to add to my opinion as well there. It's not just me looking at social media videos like what's gone up today, absolutely horrendous. That guy Alex that was murdered through the week as well. We're not going to go into that. I know it's not what the show is about today. But from first-hand experience, Ireland isn't safe and it's an element of it just not being safe because guards don't give a bollocks and because of whatever they're letting into our country and they're not doing checks, they're not doing background checks. Yes, we have our own scum. That's enough to be dealing with, to be quite honest. We have a lot of it. I was actually approached in my car before. It was a winter night, just straight winter gone. I came home late enough from the shop and it was dark, rainy. I was getting my shopping from my boot and I just had this feeling that there's a beeline for me. She ran forward towards me at my car. Luckily, I had the sense to get it back in, locked the car doors. She went around my whole car, banging it, smacking it, kicking it, trying to open my car doors. I was absolutely terrified. The woman looked mentally unwell. She didn't look in her right sense of mind, but that doesn't mean it's okay for me to get on my car and go, oh, she's mentally unwell. Like she's, you know, she can stab me if she wants. She's insane. Like, no, that's not how it is. Like I have two young kids. I was fearing for my life. Every single time I come home now, I look around, I have to assess my environment getting out of my car. Like it's nuts. Absolutely. I rang the guards that night and they didn't bother their arses. They took a description, didn't bother their arses coming up. the woman was lingering around the estate for ages. They never came up. They never approached me or asked me anything after that. 2 weeks later, I see a video go on social media of the same mentally unstable woman beating the shite out of someone's house, like with a stick. She was hitting a car or the front window of a house. And it was a foreign guy who was actually taking the video. He can hear his kids crying in the background. He was ringing for the guards, being like, just some crazy woman in my garden. And that was over like a total other side of Dublin. And I was going, that's her. Like, why didn't the guards arrest her? Why didn't they make it safe for people? God knows what she's going to do or attempt.
All right, thank you very much indeed, Aoife. Thomas.
I either won't be able to take a phone call, so I'll send a quick voice note. Adrian was saying that he has a legal visa for the UK, this guy here. He's living in the UK or whatever. Like, this is probably the ongoing issue that everyone's going to be seeing in years to come. Like, look at Australia, one of the strictest borders on the world. And it seemed to happen over there a few months ago with a mass shooting down at Bondi Beach. I live in Australia as well. There are people that are born and reared in Australia, but it's... And then they're just following this stupid fucking... Sorry for cursing, but this madness religion that's going on. And it's the same in the UK in the past. Even I remember the bombings and the trains and everything. But these will happen. These guys are integrating into the places they're living in. Just because they're living there doesn't mean to care about anybody. This is what's happening. This is why there needs to be a serious revamp on all this migration. Like, and I just want to get one thing straight as well. There's a serious divide with people in Ireland when it comes to the migration in the country and all that, like, and the foreigners coming to the country and all that. I've run a business in this country and my business will collapse only for foreign nationals because you cannot depend on the Irish people nowadays. We used to be known for being the best brokers in the world, but it's absolutely embarrassing what's going around the country now. But there needs to be a complete revamp done in the whole system. Like, and these people coming in here, I just want to use a different language, but people coming to this country not working. And I come into home after hard graft, after levelling 5 lorry loads of concrete, you barely have to walk down the street, and then you see these foreign nationals walk around in their all their brand new clothes, just living off the dole, getting houses, getting everything. Like, I have so many mixed views in the whole situation. Obviously, I work in the construction industry, like, there's a housing crisis in the country, so as long as there's a housing crisis, I'm going to have work, you know. So there's so many different ways of looking at it, but definitely they need a big revamp in the whole situation. It's getting out of hand now.
All right, thanks very much indeed, Thomas. And one final message.
Sorry, just on Thomas's message, and he's talking about, this is the problem when you talk about immigration in any way, yeah, and about immigrants. Immigrants just doesn't come under one umbrella. Okay, so there's lots of type of immigrants. And when you hear immigrants getting houses, yes, immigrants are getting houses. A lot of immigrants are working in really, really good jobs. To quote what the far right often say, doctors and engineers. There are actually people that came here as doctors and engineers, and they have mortgages. And a specialist I visited in hospital a couple of weeks was an immigrant. Okay, so there's immigrants. Okay, then there's EU immigrants, as in people from Spain, people from Italy who can come and go, and we can come and go. And then there's asylum seekers. There's asylum seekers who are coming here legally, who have a genuine reason to leave their country. And then there's illegals. So you can't put them all under the same umbrella.
But the problem is, a lot of people have done, and it has meant...
So you can't compare your Pakistani gynecologist, yeah, to an asylum seeker who came here illegally on a boat from Sudan. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Jonathan...
Good afternoon, boys. Should be a lively debate here today. Now, look, as far as I'm concerned, we're all this now, it's a nonsense. We have the EU Migration Pact incoming. As far as I'm concerned, that needs to be put to a referendum to the people of Ireland, because the government know the answer will be if they do that. It's time to start mass deportations and ramping up on this stuff and getting all these people out of the country that have criminal histories and have mental health issues and send them all back to where they came from. Because that's what's going to happen. He would be told this man had a cultural problem associating or these mental health problems. Mass deportations. We need to pass emergency legislation to clamp down on the border situation in this country. We need emergency legislation. This government is failing its people. These people are coming down from the north into this country, so they're here. Like, there's no justification for this anymore. We have been overrun And now we have the EU Immigration Pact coming in, like I said. And that, again, boys, goes on the GDP of this country. And we know we have one of the highest GDPs in Europe, if not the world. 1.9 million, according to Shannon Kilgan, sitting on waiting lists to come into Europe. And where do you think they're all going to end up? Here, because of our GDP. Because that's what this is going to be based on. And if we don't take them, there's more money to the cesspit that is the EU. This has to stop, boys. And Jeremy, do you reckon that lad's white privilege had anything that would save him or not being attacked at all? No, his white privilege didn't help him very much, did it? But mark my words, boys, this immigration issue will unite this country in spite of these governments, the British government and the Irish government. This is the issue that will unite this country. But in the ways that I always hoped that it wouldn't do, because it's going to be through violence and it's going to be through all sorts of upset. Either we clamp down or it gets worse going forward. Have a great show, boys.
All right, thanks very much indeed, Jonathan. Thank you very much, all of you. He's very polite, that man is. He is.
He's very good manners.
Absolutely. Opinionated, but polite. Now, before we go, we want to give you an opportunity to win some Opinions Matter merchandise.
Yes, we have a reusable coffee cup of very high grade and quality.
Absolutely, they're beautiful.
We are not responsible for scaldings that may happen from putting hot... like I had an apple pie at McDonald's yesterday.
Yeah, it was scalding.
Oh, Jesus. You could literally pair your house with
it. It does actually say caution, filling is hot.
No, I didn't read it.
It does say it, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
It scalded the bloody mouth off me. Anyway,
what's that got to do with our Opinions Matter I'm travel books?
This is the legal thing. My solicitor. I've been talking to my solicitor for the last 24 hours.
Right.
I've a lot to talk to him about.
And what did he say?
He said you have to say that if you get scalded from the coffee mug, it's not our responsibility. So that's why I have to say it.
Okay.
So if you get scalded...
Maybe put a downer on winning one of these.
Well, I'll just put cold liquid into it.
But then it's a coffee cup.
Sorry, my son...
Just get on with it, will you?
Matches.
How can I win one of
he
these?
Drinks matches. Cold coffees. If you want to win yourself exclusive Opinions Matter merchandise, here's what you have to do. WhatsApp the word beaker.
Oh, beaker. I like what you did there.
Oh, you know why I'm saying that?
No.
My mother said to me, I need an Opinions Matter beaker. I was like, what's a beaker? It's a
okay,
beaker.
Okay, so just WhatsApp the word beaker to 085-825-2626 and we'll give away two on the next episode. Thanks for listening. Catch you then.